Welcome back to the Better Everyday Podcast, where we're unlocking our best self one episode at a time. My name is Grace Garcia. This is my life partner, David Garcia, my baby daddy, my husband, my everything.
You hesitated a little bit at the beginning, though.
What?
Almost like you didn't know who I was.
Oh, my goodness. Welcome to episode 33. I'm just going to leave it there because we always say how we can't believe it.
I can't believe we made it this far.
It's awesome knowing that if we stick to something or say something, we can stick to it. And on the good and the bad days, we show up. I think that's pretty impressive. But today it's my turn to talk or at least open up this conversation. Mm-hmm. And I got inspired by our local church. So we go to a church called RTLA, shout out RTLA, and Pastor Wilna he's our senior pastor, has been talking about Jubilee, a time of like rejoicing and celebration. And it was a good reminder for me because I've been guilty or have found myself in situations where life is going good. I have so much to be grateful for. I'm enjoying life. I'm thriving. But I can't help but think in the back of my mind, there's like little voice or just like thoughts that say, don't enjoy it too much. Like this can all be gone. Hmm. Or there's going to be a downfall soon. Something's going to happen. That doesn't let me or didn't let me fully enjoy it to the capacity. That's what I want to talk about. Like fear or negativity. And then how do we balance like knowing that, yeah, bad things can happen. Bad things will probably happen. Mm-hmm. Versus always like bracing for it and I guess embracing that. And so that's what I want to talk about today. Just fear and my personal story with fear. I think I've hinted it here and there and talked about it here and there. But want to kind of put it all together into this one episode. So first I want to ask you, have you experienced that? Times where there's good and there's like tiny voice in your head. Okay, don't get too comfortable. This is not going to be forever. Or can you truly enjoy the moment, sit in it and embrace it for what it is? And that's it.
I think for the most part, I can sit and enjoy it. Yeah. But I also am not naive in thinking that my life is always going to be perfect. I think I have come to terms with, regardless of our actions, regardless of what we do, regardless of how perfect our lives may be, mm-hmm. sooner or later, hard times will come. What that looks like looks different for many people, but for us, it could be in our relationship. Out of the blue, we could start fighting over the dumbest thing and mm-hmm. we'll make it into a huge thing. It could be financial emergency all of a sudden, which yeah. we have prepared for. But I mean, taking a good chunk out of savings, you know, it still affects us.
Yeah.
So yeah, it basically what I'm saying is life is going to life. And I think I've come to terms to that. And I think the best thing that I believe that we can do is learn from every single experience, have an optimistic view where this bad time is not going to last.
Yeah.
It's not going to last forever. It may last a little bit, but it won't last forever. And that we can all make it through our hard times. I can say with certainty that we can. Many of us might feel like we can't. But a feeling, like we've said here before, is not truth. And I do believe that God gives us the proper tools, gives us the character to be able to surpass any and all challenges. Mm-hmm. And I believe that those challenges are also a form of test. You know, you're in high school, grade 9. How do you know that you're ready for grade 10? Well, you got to do a final exam at the end of grade 9 to see if you're ready for grade 10. I don't know if that's how they do that anymore, but back in my day, that's how school was. Yeah. If you weren't ready for grade 10, you'd be held back. And guess what? You're doing grade 9 all over again until you pass. And so, I don't live in fear of something bad's going to happen. I just think if something bad happens, it's like, oh, okay. Like, I'm not surprised. Let's just deal with it as best as we can. And now I'm not also saying that, you know, I'm perfectly stoic and nothing moves me. Like, it still bugs me, you know, like there's like a little bit maybe of anxiety or a little bit of stress, but it's like when I really sit down and reflect on it, it's just like, no, I've gone through hard stuff. Like, I've been prepared for this moment.
Yeah.
God's got me.
Thank you for sharing that and all the wonderful advice you gave. Yeah. And part of me thinks, I don't remember always being like this. So part of me is like, okay, what is it? Is it going through life and realizing, okay, it's not always, you know, in like butterflies and rainbows? Because I've said it here time and time again, like I loved my childhood. It was quote unquote like perfect. And then the biggest thing I had to deal with was boom, my mom's death. And that really obviously, like it should, like shook me. And I said this in the grief podcast to the point where I kind of went from an optimistic point of view to pessimistic. And now I'm trying to like balance it to be like realistic. But I don't know if that's also just maybe just maturity and age, or if I'm a woman and I overthink, like, am I just a natural overthinker? Or is it even like the three in me, like the hustler mindset that doesn't let me rest? Or is it just straight up fear? You know, like I go through those because it's like bad to the point where, well, I don't know if this is bad, but like when I get a massage, usually like people get a massage and they're like relaxed and they can like,
I'm thinking I have 50 or 90 minutes, whatever number it is, massage is going to end here. Okay, Grace, enjoy it.
Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Like I'm so stressed on enjoying it that I like just think about making myself enjoy it because it's going to last. That becomes my whole thought that I like stress about. Am I enjoying it enough? Oh my goodness. I'm too stressed out about enjoying it. Watch my time. Now I have 30 minutes. Oh my goodness. I'm like not relaxing. I only have 10 minutes. And then before I know it, it's over. And I'm just like, seriously, Grace, you're just like, we're thinking, like forcing yourself to enjoy it, stressing out that you're not enjoying it enough, that it's over. Like, and I feel like that, again, it's a simple analogy of like the massage, but I feel like that's with my life where I'm like, okay, enjoy this moment. Vacation, right? Like enjoy it. And I have fun moments and I love it, but I'm always thinking like, okay, we have 7 days, enjoy it now. Like I stress about enjoying it, knowing that it's gonna end, and then it ends and I'm like, oh my goodness, I was like worried about enjoying it, that it kind of like robbed my joy in a sense. What do you think?
I think I'm spending money for no reason. No, but I think that's super unhealthy. Like, you'd never allow yourself to enjoy it. Like,
yeah.
And it's great. So you said you brought up your mom and you've talked about it in the grief episode where I would actually, from my perspective, say that you were not optimistic before everything happened with your mom. You were naive. Mm. Where you would walk around, like I would look at you guys, well, you especially, and just be like, Humble just thinks like she's gonna walk on rainbows for the rest of her life. Like nothing bad is ever gonna happen. I remember how frustrating that was when you'd be like, it's fine, it's gonna work out. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, we gotta be smart about this, realistic. And you're like, it's gonna work out. Like, don't worry about it. Like,
yeah.
And I remember that was in your era of be spontaneous. Like, it's okay. Like, whatever happens, happens. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I guess.
I think part of me, there's still that part of me a little bit, but it was definitely like magnified.
If a little bit of that still exists, it's very small.
Where I'm like, oh, it'll work out.
No, you're not like that anymore. And then like some would call it like maybe like super faith. And maybe because you saw everything with your parents, like their story is like a very faith-based, like yeah, supernatural story where, if I remember the story correctly, they were sleeping on a mattress on the floor at the beginning of their life. Mm-hmm. And to where, you know, God brought them. It's just like, and then you knew that story, grew up in that story. You're just like, yeah, what the heck wrong is going to happen with us? Like nothing, like we'll be fine. And then like what happened with your mom happened, and that changed you drastically, what I would say. You like you said, became more, I would call it fear-based, where you, I'll never forget, you told me, and that's kind of like, it put me in check a little bit, but you said, my mom got promised all these things. Who's to say that I'm ever going to see my promises too? And I think that gave a lot of insight into your heart and into your mind. And, you know, me and you kind of talked about it, and I'm like, this is very fear-based. Like, I don't think this is healthy. I think there's some validity to it. And yeah. It kind of helps me because in the time, what we're talking about really is finances, where I was like, no, we got to buckle down. You're like, no, like, screw that. Like, give me what I want right now because I don't know if I'm going to get tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so that did bring somewhat of a balance because you did make me realize like, oh, like, yeah, tomorrow isn't promised. Like, I usually plan for the future.
Yeah.
But I mean, who's to say like that we're going to see 3 years in advance? Like, we could pray and we could ask for God to allow us to live a long and fulfilled life, but we don't know what his plans are really.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there was some validity to it, but it was very fear-based. And with what you're saying right now, with the vacations and like, you can't even enjoy a spa. Like, that's crazy. Like, the spa, like, you go to a spa, like, in an ideal world, you go there and just completely relax. Just let go of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're sitting there for 90 minutes, like, I only have 80 minutes left. I have 60 minutes left. Oh, my gosh, when is it going to end? Not only that, like, when am I ever going to get a spa again? Like, holy moly, like, that you're not enjoying it.
Yeah. I think I need, what is it, Xanax?
No, I think.
What were we going to say?
I think you need, we should talk about it right now.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody might be in your same shoes, so we might as well just air it out, talk about it. Like, what do you feel like? What do you think is the core of that? Because I don't know if your mom's passing away correlates exactly with the whole spa and vacation thing.
No, I think that was for sure correlated with the money part, the finances.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't come to that conclusion until we went to therapy because I didn't even know I felt that. I was just frustrated. Like, why is David talking about the future? I'm working hard. And why is it bugging me so much? And once we were talking about our marriage and our second therapist really went to like, okay, like the root of things, that's when that came out. And I'm like, that makes sense. I did see my mom promise so many things and she didn't fulfill it. I have a fear that I'm not going to get what you promised me. I'm not going to see the house that you promised me. I'm not going to see traveling with you because I heard that growing up and it never happened. So I kind of was in disbelief. Like, it's not going to happen. Let's just enjoy now. And so I do think that had a correlation with the finances part. My mom, to be honest, I have a feeling, and that's why I would like to go to therapy. I think I need it. I've definitely gotten healthier, but in some regards, how you say, like, fear kind of started exposing itself. Maybe it was there for so long. But I don't remember being like this prior to teaching. And I feel like because teaching is so demanding and exhausting, and it requires a lot of me, like, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, like, everything you have to. It's like a ministry. Your whole life could be poured out in it. I feel like that's when I'm like, okay, this is the time of relaxing. Like, enjoy. Because I don't know. Like, I have to go back full force and it's going to be a lot and I'm going to be drained. Or like vacations, like counting down. Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to go back to work. And like getting anxiety of like, I'm going to have to go back to work. I need to enjoy it now. Take full advantage. And like, oh, it's done. You know, like, it's over. I have been enjoying teaching now way more. But I still find myself thinking that. Like, even recently, I was talking to a coworker, shout out Esme. I don't know if you watch all my videos, but I know she watches some. She was saying how she got the house deep cleaned. And I'm like, oh, I did that last year too. But even with that, like, when I get excited, like, oh, someone might come and, like, deep clean the house, I'm just, like, thinking, okay, I have to maintain it. And, like, instead of just enjoying, like, okay, it's going to be deep cleaned, that's awesome. That's a blessing. It's usually a lot of money and they do a good job. I think, okay, how are we going to maintain it? When am I going to be able to afford another one? And like, what's going to happen? Meanwhile, like, I can't, like, I think about all the in between, like the after that doesn't let me enjoy the moment. And I think it's what the Bible says, like, worrying about the future, like tomorrow there's so many worries. Like, why are you worried about that? Like, just focus on the now, like focus on the good. And I think being a teacher, like, amplified those worries, or amplified like the, maybe it's a lack of gratitude, or amplified the, I don't know, like the fear of it's going to be hard. So enjoy it now, but I'm so focused on it. Like, I can't. It's so strange.
How crazy is it that with your mom came the feeling of, I want to get my promises now because I don't know if I'll get them later. And now that you could call these mini promises, that you can't even enjoy the mini promises.
Yeah.
And what is it that, like, okay, let me ask you. Do you feel like you deserve these little mini promises? Do you think you deserve the deep cleaning house? Do you think you deserve the spa? Do you think you deserve the vacation? And I'm not saying, like, did you work hard for it, whatever? Like, no, like,
yeah, like, that's
like true. What basically what I'm asking is, what do you think that is not allowing you to enjoy it? And I don't buy into because of your work. I think it goes deeper than that.
I don't know. I think it could be multiple things. I think it could be, and maybe girls relate to this, because I feel like even when I was younger, and even now, where I tell you, like, I get a candle, and I'm like, I don't want to light it until it's, like, the perfect day. And, like, you can just light up a candle in the middle of a mess. And then I'm just like, no, like, it has to be clean. It has to be, like, a day where it's, like, great, and then I light the candle. Like, kind of like a reward, I guess, right? Or same thing, like, I buy face masks or, like, under eye masks, and I wait for, like, the most perfect time to use it, then it ends up, like, expired. And I never find the perfect moment, right? Like, I can't enjoy or see the good in this moment to be enjoying it, if that makes sense. And I think, girls, let me know if you're like that, but I think so it amplifies it. So maybe where I feel like I never thought of it, but I did get a little, like, emotional, because I always, like, tell you, like, I maybe I need permission, or maybe the three in me is, like, the achiever in me and, like, waits to be like, hey, you deserve this, or that. Affirmation, the words of affirmation, it's like my love language of, like, hey, this is not just for your birthday or for Christmas or whatever, but, like, a random day, you know, like, you deserve this, like, you did good, you deserve it. Or maybe I haven't accepted that I do deserve it, like, I'm a great person. And I think it goes back to, like, how my view of God, like, it, how does my view of God reflect into what I think I deserve? Because that's why I say I think it correlates with my mom, because I remember before thinking God of, like, a great God, like, he's here for me, he loves me, he wants to give me everything, right? Like, spoil me, kind of, like my dad. And then when the passing of my mom, I was like, oh, so God is going to use tough times to teach me lessons, and he might promise me things, and yeah, I'll get them, but not on this side of the earth. He's going to make me wait, right? Mm-hmm. And so I started seeing God in a pessimistic light. Like I said in the grief podcast, like, I opened up Hebrews where it talks about, like, the men of faith, and I was like, cool, Abraham got promised that, he didn't see it. Moses got promised that, he didn't see it. David got promised that, he didn't see it. And I was like, so pissed. Like, I was just going through, I'm like, that sucks. And instead of being encouraged by it and being motivated, like, God's promises never fail, like, I'm gonna get it regardless if now or later, like, I'm gonna get it and it's gonna be worth it and he knows what's best for me, I was viewing everything so pessimistic. And so maybe my view of God was like, oh, you're not going to enjoy it right now. Like, right now, like, it's not what you think it's going to be like. Like, scratch it out, because you have no idea. And so just don't get excited until you're in heaven or something like that. Like, I think I got, you know how the prosperity gospel always preaches, like, good things and, like, riches and things. I think I went, we always talk about, like, the pendulum swinging or, like, going the opposite. I think I went completely to the opposite side. I'm like, okay, life isn't about enjoying, so forget it. I'll enjoy it after when I pass away, but right now it's gonna suck and that's okay. And God doesn't want you to, like, enjoy life. Like, I think I, like, took it to that extreme, and I have to, it's gotten better. I think I've told you I found joy in teaching, and I'm finding joy in, like, that's why I also started my TikTok, because teaching made me miserable. Like, I hated it. And I started romanticizing it. And, like, my morning routines are peaceful and I love it. Like I get to do this and I, in romanticizing it, it opened up an opportunity and like I found joy in teaching and it's been awesome. So I'm working at it and it's gotten a little bit better, but I still catch myself like thinking those thoughts and not being able to let go of fear of, okay, it's going to go away.
Do you think it might be a little bit of scarcity mindset?
Oh yeah, I think so.
And do you think, is there any sort of guilt? Like when you do the spa, when you do a trip, like seeing your whole big picture, do you think there's any guilt of like, there's a part of you that says, I don't deserve this, or this money could have been used somewhere else and I shouldn't have gotten this. And that's why I'm just like, focus on it. Like I need to enjoy it, but I can't enjoy it.
Well, I think like a lot of the time I am kind of caught in between like two rough places, or there's like this tension of, I know I need to save. You know that, Grace, like you've read the books, you preach about it, you like all this stuff, like, you know, this is important. And we have goals, right, of getting out of debt and all this stuff. And, you know, like, I want to enjoy life and I want this. And so I always, you can even hear like that, I guess, argument in my head when I talk to you, like, well, I want to go to this trip. Oh, but we have to save. Okay, babe, it's okay if we don't go. And you're like, okay, we're not going to go. It's like, oh, but I want to go. And it's like this fight in my head, in my internal mind. And so maybe I haven't felt guilty, but I know I always am like, oh, well, we need to save, we need to do this, but I really want to. I haven't thought too much about it.
Because it might be subconscious. Like, especially right now that I'm doing like the one-on-one therapy, this guy like asked me questions sometimes and I sit there and I'm like, I never thought about it. I'm thinking about it right now. And yeah, like these things are coming up.
Yeah.
A lot of things we kind of just brush off and just like, oh, it's not that big a deal. But like, okay, so your 30th birthday is coming up. We are planning, hopefully, to do a trip.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I want to go. We've talked about it. I'm like, I don't even know. I'm not like emotional. Like, it's not, I'm not sad. Yeah, I want to go. But I feel like, same thing. I feel like, I don't know, maybe because I've been labeled for so long, like this, not even just by you, like by family, by like everyone, like I'm a spender or kind of like careless with money. So maybe I do feel guilty, like, here we go again. I'm going to make us backtrack on our goals. Like, it's going to be my fault.
Do you feel like you deserve it?
I think I do work hard I want to enjoy it.
Not should you deserve it. I think there's a difference between should you deserve it, as in like I've been doing all the blah, 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 or do you feel like you deserve it, like wholeheartedly? Because I feel like the do you feel that you deserve it will give you that piece of like, yo, I earned this. I'm going to enjoy this to the max. Whereas I feel like I earned it, but I don't feel like I deserve it. And that's why I can't enjoy it.
Well, I feel like I can't tell the difference between I earned it and I deserved it. Like, maybe I don't know what the difference is, because I feel like I worked hard. So then in my head, if you work hard, then you earned it, you deserve it. But if you're saying it's not the same thing.
I don't think it's the same thing.
So what is?
Because you can work hard all you want.
Yeah.
And like I said, like, buy the trip, but you don't feel like you deserve it. You don't feel like, I don't know, there's something that isn't aligning.
But I think that goes to my theological view that, like, life isn't to deserve it. Like it's not for the trip.
Okay, I guess a different way to word it is, do you feel like you deserve blessings? Are you worthy of blessings? Are you worthy of your spiritual father?
That's what I'm saying. I feel he wants to bless me on the other side of heaven.
So you don't think he wants to bless you on this side of heaven?
No, that's what I've been like. I think that's what I've been battling with. Because it's like, I don't think my mom deserved cancer. Like, there's a lot of people. She was, we've talked about how amazing she was, like how out of everyone I know, she wholeheartedly, genuinely loved people and was generous, like not only loved people, but showed it through actions, not just words, through everything she could do. Like she would sacrifice herself and make herself uncomfortable to help others. And so I know this kind of goes back to like, why do good people deserve death? And I know it's like sin and fallen worlds. Like I know that. So I'm not saying God is a bad God for giving her that. But in my head, maybe, I don't know, maybe my heart or my mind, like one of them is not fully believing it or something, because I know people in the Bible, like I can think of Abraham, David, Solomon, like they all lived, I guess, quote unquote, luxurious lives. Like we're talking about finances, right? Like they basically had it all in regards to not having to worry about that. And then so, and I hear like pastors preaching on that, but I, for some reason, I can't like wholeheartedly agree with them because I'm like, okay, well, that's the Old Testament, you know? I'm like, good for them. We're in a new era. And you look at the New Testament and it's a lot of martyrdom, like people dying for their faith. It's a lot of sacrifice. It's a lot of like pick up your cross and follow Jesus. So I'm like, okay, then where does God blessing me fit into that? And I think maybe I feel like I don't deserve it. I don't know. I feel like I want to. Like I want to say, this is God blessing me. Like I want to say like I deserve it and he wants to give me this. But part of me is like, does he? Are you just being vain? Are you just working hard for all the wrong reasons?
I guess that's a question. Why are you working?
Why am I working hard?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to worry. I don't want, like when emergencies hit, like we've said it when we first got married and an emergency hit, we'd freak out. Like we would have to either owe someone or live paycheck to paycheck, go under, like go into debt, overdraft fees, like that anxiety and that like never having enough, like it's a horrible feeling.
So all you're working for is to fight back fear. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I guess. And leaving things for my kids so that my kids can be in a better place than we can. I'm working so that we can be better than our parents, to give more to our kids so our kids can be better than us.
But with the first part that you said, it really like what resonates with me is I am fighting back fear. Like you feel like fear is chasing you. And it's like I'm at your toes and you're like, I'll just work harder and I'll push you away.
Yeah.
And it's like, but in me saying that, do you hear? Like by my own works, I will push fear back.
Yeah.
And then the question would resonate, where is God in all these thoughts and all this work?
Do you want me to answer?
Sure.
I know this sounds like pessimistic and I hesitate. The reason I hesitate sharing is because I don't want people listening, if they're like starting out in their faith, like these are tough questions that I'm asking, or like maybe confessions I'm gonna say that don't sound nice, like in regards to God. And I'm not saying like this is the God like that's alive, and so I don't want people to get confused, or I get like worried.
I mean, the disclaimer can be, this is a the reality of Christianity, yeah, that we do have battles within our mind and our heart, that we do go through hard times. It paints a realistic picture of Christianity.
Yeah.
And it also paints the picture of sometimes we're going to wrestle with God, like,
yeah,
not like having these thoughts.
Yeah. Okay. You heard his disclaimer. I see him kind of like with the Job situation, just there and saying, the worst that can happen to you is you die and you end up with me. So it's not that, like, it's not bad. Like, no matter where, I know that if we go through hard times, like, God's got me in regards of like, it all will be used for my good. Either I'm going to grow from it. I'm going to feel him closer, all of that. And so he's allowing it. So he's sitting there and saying, go through it. But that doesn't take away that it's going to suck, that it's going to hurt, that it's going to feel ugly. But I see him there kind of like, all right, it is what it is. I'm not going to take it away because this is life.
Hmm.
And it sucks because I feel like I got in this place accepting like biblical truths of like life sucks and it's not about the good, you know, the good things. But I feel like my mind has manipulated it so it can, like, so it can't be a good thing. Because it's supposed to be a good thing. Hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Knowing like God is with us even in the hard times and stuff. But I feel like my mind has like manipulated it and be like, I don't know, like it's brought fear or whatever.
Yeah, because I kind of like see both of our situations and I see our different perspectives. And I'm not going to sit here and try to make you stand on my perspective. And, you know, what I've learned in the last couple of years is that it's okay for us to be different.
Yeah.
And that we'll have different perspectives and we'll come together and become a better one.
Yeah.
And so when I hear yours, like I think about my perspective and I'm like, I do feel like that's where we differ, where you're like waiting for the bad thing to happen and you feel like you're going to suffer or have hard, like really just, you know, because you've been there before, the anxiety, the stress, the depression.
Yeah.
And I kind of like see that and I'm like, okay, like, and it might be my whole, like, I have this thing that I've been talking about in therapy where my mind chose to adapt to all the hard situations that I went through.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, I still haven't really figured out if I've been kind of like lying to myself in regards to like, oh, like, you know, I got a champion spirit. Because that's honestly what I feel. But could it be that my mind kind of just manipulated the situation to at least make me feel that way? That way I can just survive through anything, right? Because from my perspective, I know that hard times are coming and I know that they will be rough. Like when me and you fight, I don't like it.
Yeah.
That for me is hard times. I really don't like it. If we get to like a really ugly like portion of the fight, I really don't like it. But I always think to myself, like, this is not going to last.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my thing is the bad time won't last. The good times will outweigh the bad times. Whereas I feel like with yours, it's like the bad times are going to outweigh the good times where you're like, I mean, look at Job. He went through all this and, you know, God was kind of just there like, hey, go through it. And I think I always talk about the two sides of the coin. I feel like you might be only looking at one side of the coin where it's, this is going to suck. This is going to be hard. God wants to teach me through this hard time. Why does it have to be the hard time? Why can't I be through a good time? Okay, fine. It's always going to be a hard time. There's going to be hard times. I'm going to hate it, but I know they're coming. I don't want them to come. And that's when the fear comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, when is this coming? When is this coming? When is this coming? And it's almost like how I interpret it is like you're saying, I can't put my guard down. I can't just, you can't rest. You can't just completely offload, take off the armor and just lay down and rest. You feel like God isn't allowing you to give you rest. And I don't think that it's God telling you don't rest.
Yeah.
I think it's fear that you might be disguised as like a voice of God telling you like, don't rest. The bad times is coming. God's going to teach you something. God's going to get you. You have so much more to learn, you know? And when we're talking about Jubilee, that's clearly not having Jubilee. And I think Jubilee really is just like that peaceful joy. where you wholeheartedly trust God. And I think, you know, I really pray that for you and pray for both of us to be in that scenario where we can be in a joyful, like a peaceful joy where we know it's going to be okay. Because I also can resonate with you in regards to, like, I work hard basically to beat away fear. And I'm doing it by my own accord. I'm doing it by my own intelligence. I'm doing it by my own wisdom. Granted, God gave me the intelligence. God gave me the wisdom. Mm. And I give him all the glory for it. But at the same time, do we sometimes use the things that God has given us and be like, and it's not even intentional, but almost like subconscious, be like, God, step aside. Like, I got this, you know? I got this gig going. I got that stream of income going. Like, I'll be fine. I figured this out. You know, and that's almost like kind of like a teenager with their parents, right? Mm-hmm. When they get to a certain age, like, I got this. Like, don't worry about it. You know, they want to be an adult so bad.
Yeah.
But the parents are like, no, I can help you, you know? And, but I would say from the bottom of my heart, your 30th trip, like, I feel like you deserve it.
I need tissue.
The tissue's right over there. But I feel like you deserve it. And I feel like you deserve that peaceful rest, that peaceful joy. Like, and it's not because of all the work that you do with TikTok and all the busting, but it's just that simply you deserve to be loved. And I think you need to accept that and realize that. That, first of all, God loves you. God wants you to rest. Even rest in his arms. Rest on his chest. For you to be able to trust him that much, that you can get that close and you can lay down. And obviously, I love you.
I love you too. I need tissue.
Okay. You keep talking. I'll get the tissue.
I did not expect to be crying at all this episode. Like, it wasn't planned, but I think it kind of... Thank you. I'll just have this box here. I don't know. I think it kind of reiterates that, yeah, maybe I do need to go to therapy. And, like, work it out. Because as I was going to say the exact same thing you said of, like, me and you are similar, that I try not, it's weird because I just say I overthink everything. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I don't try to go deeper than the surface. Like, if someone, quote unquote, is, like, rude to me or does something to hurt me, I am so easy to be like, oh, no, that didn't hurt me. Like, oh, they just... meant this, like, I don't read a lot into situations. I think maybe I always thought as, like, oh, I'm just a positive person or I see the good in people, but maybe it is a mechanism to protect myself and protect my heart, because I feel like I could come off as, like, careless, like, I don't care about people, but I think it's to just not read into the situation, so again, so I don't get hurt. Mm-hmm. And, like, as you were going to therapy, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm similar. Like, I think as you think. Like, I'm pretty similar in that way. So I feel like I don't know what the balance is, because I genuinely, and you guys might not believe me because I'm crying on this episode, but life has been so good to me this past season, and I truly have felt that. And I feel like my attitude, like, me coming home, like, I think you've seen me. Okay, she likes teaching. Like, she's in a good space. Where I feel like I'm enjoying my blessings. I feel like I truly am. But then when I was like, oh, this is something I've struggled with. And, like, I just talk about it. Like, I'm crying here. So I'm like, am I now kind of like, did I fake myself into believing that I'm happy? Or is it like when you go deeper, you can find negative to everything? So we shouldn't go deeper and find negative to everything? Because there, how you said, there's two sides. Life... the kingdom of God is here, but it's not yet. So there will be good and there will be bad. Like, simple as that. We live in this fallen world, but we're of his world. And so it's like, where is that line? And I feel like I have to like walk through with the therapist. I have so many questions because I genuinely believe that once I started since last January, being so intentional with my mornings and dedicating it to him and changing my perspective, because I think in the morning when you give God thanks, your whole day like shifts. And I've noticed how I am genuinely more happy. I can enjoy. I've heard it called like polish the present, like realizing you're in the present. What can you do to make it nice? Kind of how, remember before I would always wait for it to be nice to enjoy it. Like, I'm like, you're in the present. What could you do to make it nice? Light the candle. Like, don't wait for a perfect moment. This is like polish the present, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I've been in that mindset. But then again, when I talk about it, I'm like, oh my goodness, like this. And I think it goes back to maybe the answer is perspective and how it says like, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against the principalities of the world and the darkness. And part of that context is your thoughts. Your thoughts is the number one like enemy that we have. I feel like the enemy uses our thoughts, but also we just fall in, can be so negative. And it's detrimental because it says how we think is how we usually act, and usually what comes out of our mouth, then we'll act it out and it becomes like our life. Mm-hmm. Because on one hand, you can see, and we've talked about the metaphor of climbing a mountain. And like, the truth is, after that mountain, I'm like, David, don't touch me. I'm exhausted. Like, it hurt. I wasn't ready for it. This is something I never want to do again. But then I see the peak and I come down. And once I'm like over the pain, I'm like, let's do it again. That was the best. It makes me stronger. I want another challenge. I know it's going to make me a better person. And both things are right at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if the answer is just like perspective, like choose to dwell on the good. But then does that go like, and don't worry about therapy or don't have those kind of conversations, because if you really look into it, you can find bad. Like, what is the balance?
I think my question would be, where is God in everything? So when you say like the mountain analogy, you get to the top, you're hurting. You're like, David, don't touch me. And it's not until you come down and you forget like the hardship that you went through, you're like, oh, let's do it again. That sounds like fun. Whereas at least the last time we went hiking, the question is, when you get to the top and you, I mean, a summit is a summit.
Yeah.
Summits are gorgeous. Where is God in that? Where you say like, oh, like I felt pain and I was like, don't touch me. But is there a piece of you that goes, God, thank you so much for allowing me to like have the strength to get up here?
Yeah, or for this beautiful.
And I say that because you also talked about, you know, like working hard, beating away the fear. And that you're like, I'm crying right now, but like in the last year or so, like you've been the happiest you've ever been. But now my question is, what are you happy about? Are you happy that you're doing things that you weren't doing before? That you are more disciplined now? That because you're more disciplined, you're getting much more done, much more organized, less anxiety, less stress. Like what I'm trying to get at is like, again, the same thing where I'm like, oh, like because of my intelligence, because of my wisdom.
Yeah.
But the question will always resound, where is God in that? Like, is it, I'm happy because I'm doing these things? Because you have said over and over again, like, babe, like, can you believe it? Like, I'm doing all these things and, you know, I'm being so much more disciplined now. And like, I'm doing this and I'm doing that and me. But the question is, where is God in that? And could it be that because of this fear that you feel, that again, you're like, there's a part of you that's like, I can't fully trust God because he might put me through the next Job moment. And so I'm happy because I've been figuring this out, you could say, on your own.
Do you want me to answer?
Sure.
Oops, sorry. Because I don't know. I feel like it goes back to it being both sides, because I genuinely have like transformed my prayer life, where before it was, oh, when I remember, or very surfacey. Mm-hmm. Like I wake up, oh, thank you, God. And then I go to sleep and I say like my routine prayer. Like it was very religious. Like it was do this these times and that's it.
Yeah.
And I decided like, I don't want to do that. Like I want to be intentional, like carve out time where I do have to wake up early and kind of sacrifice. Like I could be getting ready. I could be doing so many things, but he deserves this and mm-hmm. it's not convenient for me. Right. And it probably sounds so dumb, but almost all like of my prayers, even like the teeny ones of we had a rat in the house and I was like, God, like I need to see it die. Like I need proof that he is dead.
That was your ultimate Joe moment.
And and that happened. Or a simple prayer. I remember I went to the store and I was like, God, I know this is like a dumb prayer, but this is the third store I walk into. And I really want to see the pillows that I've been dreaming for, like my bed. And I found it. And I was just like, God, you care for it. And again, I prayed yesterday for the TA. And I see his hand and like, God, you love me. Like you answer my prayers where I feel like they're dumb and I don't deserve it. And I see your hand in it. And I see how faithful you've been. Like my dreams are coming true. And I know I cannot do that. Like there's certain things I can't control, like the rat dying, my TA being picked for me. Like those certain things I can control. Like God make me more physically determined. I'm like, okay, that's kind of on me and my strength. And there's things where it's like, God, it's just you, right? And so I feel like I have seen him. Like I have seen his answered prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And there's things where I'm like, yeah, I'm happy because I took things into my own hand. But I feel like that's what faith is. Like if you believe that God wants you healthy, but you're not doing anything, then it's not going to happen.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So that's kind of where I see him. I see him there. I see him nodding to me and I see little things of like, hey, you think it doesn't care and you think it's not a big deal, but I see you mm-hmm. and I want you to have this. But I still think, I don't know, maybe it's like a father who, it's not a bad father, but it's like a father who is, okay, you deserve this. We're good today. Let's go to the store. I'm going to get you a toy. And then a father who's like, okay, go in time out. Like, you don't, like, I could take it away from you. And which is true. Like, he could do that. And I should rejoice.
But you say that with a smirk.
Well, I say it because it's like, I'd hope I could say that in the moment. And I think with my mom, and I talked about in the grief episode where I saw him so negative for so long. And I got to the point where I'm like, I hated it. I don't want to go through that. Like, I don't wish that upon anyone. But I see the lesson. And the lesson was a good lesson. But I'm still like, was that the best way you could have taught me the lesson?
Do you feel like that pain molded you? Or molded a different... molded a different version of God in your life?
Oh, yeah. I think it changed how I viewed him.
Because before, I would call you naive.
Yeah.
And so if I were to ask you back then, who is God to you? You'd probably be like, oh, God is a perfect God. He gives me everything and it's such an amazing life and he wants to bless me. And you probably say that Jeremiah, 29:11, where he has a plan for me. Everything's going to be all good.
Yeah. And it sounds like a genie God.
Yeah.
Like it sounds... when I walked into Biola and did like theology 101, and they say, this is how Christians view God, like a genie God or a vending machine God. You put in the coin, you do the good deeds and boom, you get out mm-hmm. a reward. That's not a mature relationship. So I don't, in a way I'm happy I don't know him like that anymore. Like I'm happy that I've grown from that because I pride myself in like reading the Bible and like I don't know. I like that I grew from that stage, right? But then part of me is like, am I not liking the God that I'm reading about? Because there's a huge difference. Where it's like, yes, you can know more. And yes, again, I'm not saying I don't love God. Like I hope people don't consume me. I'm just putting my raw, honest thoughts
yeah.
out here. because how I said, even with the most painful thing in my life, I learned a beautiful lesson. And my biggest takeaway that I was like, oh my goodness, like I don't regret what going through it. Like I understand, God, why you had to, was because I realized that even in the hardest moment of my life, my salvation was mine and I still chose God and nothing could have taken it away. Like I knew my salvation was mine and it wasn't my dad's, it wasn't religion, it wasn't church, things like that. And even going through tough times, like now I'm so grateful because yeah, we go to church and we do this, but I'm like, God, I know that even if we don't, like I tell you, like I feel closer to him because it's my relationship with God. But I feel like the more I get to know him, the more I'm like, it goes back to, I will never understand the heart of God. And there's certain things where I'm like, is it even worth thinking about? Because my mind is not even at 50% capacity. Our brain is not like even fully functioning. So what's the point of searching, thinking you know the right answer? Because I truly believe, and that's where faith comes in. I truly believe that God isn't a bad God. But I don't understand why he makes us go through hard lessons. Because I feel like as a parent, I said this in the grief podcast, it's like, Elijah, you haven't learned this lesson. Let me find the most difficult way I can teach you this lesson so it can stick. Like, I wouldn't do that as a parent. I'm like, how can I make this fun? How can I make this stick? How can I, you know, like, even as a teacher, right? Like, okay, this is something they need to learn. What can I do? I'm not like, and part of me thinks like that's what God does, right? Where it's like, everything is for my good. Cool, but everything's for my good? Like you couldn't just do good? Like you have to pick the bad things where I could learn that lesson? Like you had to pick that mountaintop for me to be like, oh God, it's so beautiful. Like in your sovereignty, there's not a nicer way of doing that? And part of me has to go like, Grace, he's God. You're not. So why do you question him? Like, yes, if he says that's the best way, it's because it is. And you don't understand it. And so I just go in a circle. Like literally my thoughts are like, I go to that point of like, God, come on. There's a better way of doing that. Like, you're not the nicest. And then there's a point of me saying, I'm dumb. I don't know him. And I don't know his thoughts. So don't think that. And then I just like go round and round. If that makes sense.
Do you think, and maybe you don't feel comfortable with answering this, but do you think that you really are mad at God for what happened? Because it's easier to be mad at God who you don't see than be mad at somebody who you loved for 21 years? Because what you said before was God wants us to have all these amazing blessings, but it's not until we take action that we get to see them. And so if God wanted your mom to live a healthy life, do you think she practiced healthy practices to live a healthy life?
No.
Do you think that she was responsible in that sense? It could go much deeper than that. But do you think, because, and this is somewhat defending God.
No,
but also like, good. Also, like,
yeah,
it could be easier that I'd rather be mad at God and build this mold of a God that wants to punish me to teach me a lesson rather than God's like, I wanted your mom to be healthy, but maybe she didn't live healthy. And we are all going to, because we live in this sinful world, we are all going to reap what we sow.
Yeah.
And if we sow unhealthy practices, we are going to reap unhealthy rewards.
Yeah. I've never thought about that way. I think that's powerful what you said. I think I needed it. I think it's for sure a huge, I think, like, revelation in my life, like, something I need to think about. Because, yeah, I've said it before, remember, when we were talking, especially my girls in Proverbs 31 women, I said, like, it sucks that we said it in the name of ministry, right? Like you go out and eat, and I mentioned like my mom, like she didn't have the bad habit. So that thought never crossed my mind. Like I have thought about it, but I think it is easier. I think about it, and then it's like, okay, cool. Like not to put the blame on her. And maybe it is easier because I said, like, I loved her. And it's like, I saw her, I hugged her. And God, like, yeah, I love God, but it's easier because it's like, oh, I don't see you. Like, you take the blame.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is easier. I think it's a huge step in the right direction. I think it doesn't answer all my questions of, like, why is the New Testament, like, this walk of, like, give your blessings up. Like, don't live, like, the American dream. Like, I feel like it's so anti-American dream.
Yeah.
So I think that's where I struggle with. I don't deserve my trip. I don't deserve a nice house. I don't deserve. But yeah, I feel like I need to like wrestle with your God is a good, loving God. And he wants to give you this and you deserve it. Versus like, what are you doing? Like, you know, this is not the Christian life.
In contrast of you saying, I don't deserve a trip, I don't deserve a nice house, if there is a part of you that believes that, what is the contrast of that? What should you be doing?
Like, drastic and, like, live humbly. Like, only what you need. Like, live in a two-bedroom apartment. Like, be uncomfortable.
Be uncomfortable for the sake of, there's always got to be a purpose.
For the sake of the gospel. It's like with the New Testament.
No, because that part is where I would somewhat push back because, oh, look at me. Like you're basically lifting up a flag of poorness. Look at me. I'm poor. That means I'm humble. That means I'm Christian. Whereas like I can understand, I can get on some piece of your thought process where it's like, okay, the gospel from Matthew on is very like pretty much anti-American dream.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was the rich man that said, how do I get into the kingdom of God? And he was like, give up all your riches. And he was like, what?
Yeah. I don't think it's like raising the flag of like, look, I'm humble, I'm poor, but it's living down to like, just give everything. Like just give it.
And that's what I was getting at. Like, okay, so we make X amount. There's a part of you that thinks, okay, we should be living in a two-bedroom house, but what would be the purpose? And
yeah, like to just give it.
To be a blessing to others.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't say that's wrong.
But it's not. Are we going over time? We're getting it closed.
At the very nitty gritty, I do believe God wants us to rest. How that looks like? I think there's a piece of you and there's a piece of me that is wired in us by God. And there's some things that we can't shake. For example, my drive to be better and help people. Like that, no matter what, I can never shake that,
mm-hmm.
right? And like, I think there's a piece of you or a piece of us, I think, that says, hey, like we do deserve a vacation, time of rest. Because in that vacation, in that time of rest, in that spa, in that nail salon, whatever, I believe that's like a sabbatical. What was the point of a sabbatical? For you to just have a day of nothingness, but it's not complete nothingness. It's basically just rejoicing in all the blessings that God has given you. Would you agree?
I don't think you need to go to like a vacation or a massage or nails to enjoy the blessings that God has given you. Like in a perfect scenario, you could not have that or not do that and still rejoice. In yeah, nothingness.
100%.
Yeah.
But then you also got to factor in, A, the culture. If you would really want to embrace a radical, you know, like lifestyle like that, like it would take a radical moment for mm-hmm. that to happen. But down to the point is, I do believe that God wants us to have that peaceful joy. Mm-hmm. That joy that says, my good and faithful servant, take a rest. What that looks like, it could be debatable. Mm. But as of right now, I think we can get to that point. And I think that's part of Jubilee. And that's part of, I think to get to Jubilee, to get to that peaceful joy, is to completely light up your heart and your mind and dissipate all darkness. Because what you were saying before, it's like, it's almost like you feel like fear, trouble is chasing you.
Yeah.
And you need to work harder to push this back. But I feel like true joyful peace is God saying, trust me. The darkness is not going to touch you. Have no fear. Like, how many times does it say have no fear
yeah.
in the Bible? Like, it's in Psalms, right? I only know it in Spanish, but like 1,000 will fall at this side mm-hmm. and 10,000 at that side, but no one's going to be able to touch you so long as we trust in God. But if we're doing it by our own accord and our own will, I mean, we're doomed.
Yeah.
And it'll always go back to having Christ at the center of our lives, our hearts, our minds. But truly, because I'm not going to lie, like, I'm not sitting here saying this, acting like I'm Mr. Perfect, and I wake up like thinking or like having the image of Jesus in my head and just like getting down and bowing and praising and praying and all this stuff, like, in 24/7, like, that's, I'm going to be honest, that's not me. Mm. But there should be at least something that resembles that, where we can acknowledge God in every single moment. In the moment that I wake up and I know I'm about to go to work and I pray for my boss and I pray for his company, and then when I see him smile, knowing that I said a prayer for him and that God heard my prayer.
Yeah.
And seeing the relationship that I have with my boss, and again, acknowledging God, be like, you've given me favor. And you've given me favor and blessings that I haven't even asked for and I never even imagined that I would ever get, nor that I even deserve. Mm-hmm. But I am grateful. When I come home, acknowledging God and like, I'm so grateful because I get to live out my prayers. I prayed for a beautiful wife. I prayed for two kids. I prayed for this family. I prayed to not live in Winnipeg and to live in California. I prayed all these prayers and I'm seeing them come to life. I acknowledge you, God, that none of this is because of me. It's all because of you. Yeah. And I feel like having that mindset and that heart posture, you're always bowing to God, surrendering to God, and just like, because of you, because of you, because of you, because of you. Mm-hmm. And I feel like as we practice this cycle of because of you, because of you, because of you, it becomes part of who we are. And then as we embrace that, we also embrace who God is in our life. And God, I don't see him as somebody that like, well, I'm going to teach you a lesson and this is going to be the way how, you know, like, yeah. I think God's like, no, there's a lesson coming and I'm cheering you on and I'm hoping, like, I'm going to let you do it on your own. Mm. And at least that's the way that I see it. I'm going to let you do it on your own. When you pass, I'm going to celebrate with you. And now you're going to the next level. And I'll always think that the purpose of us leveling up will always be more than just us. It'll be for blessing other people. But I think and I pray that you can get to that point where you can see that God isn't there like, I'm going to get you this time. Like, you're finally going to learn this lesson that I've been trying to teach you for like 20 years. Like, yeah. I'm going to get you. Like, no, it's, It's going to happen. Whether you see him as good or bad, something's going to happen. And your perspective can be, you're a God that wants to punish me, or you're a God that's cheering me on, that has prepared me for this moment. I hope I can pass, given all the tools and all the experience and all the knowledge and wisdom that you've given me. Mm-hmm. And I know that we're going to celebrate after. Life is going to life.
Yep. I think that's a beautiful perspective. And I think part of me, because as I hear you say, I like, there's times where I'm like, oh, I do that, you know? And I think it's going to be, I don't know if this makes sense, but I feel like maybe, not that I'm always struggle with this, but I feel like the human mind, the human life, at least for me, if I'm honest, because there are days, there's months where I'm like, all right, God, like, I don't see him initially. If someone asks me, I'm like, oh, God is a God who punishes or teaches a lesson, right? Like, I see him as a good God, a loving God, a God who answers my prayers, a God who's been so merciful and gracious and gives me more than I deserve. Like, that's the God I see. And then it comes in, like, I think of the disciples on the storm, where then they, like, lose sight and they literally just saw a miracle happen. And they're like, oh, my gosh, what's going to happen now? And having to remember again. And then, all right, I'm on this journey of, like, remembering that God is capable and God is loving. And then kind of, like, I feel like the human mind, like, forgetful, and then, like, snapping back, okay, perspective. Because, yeah, I completely, like, agree with everything you say. And I truly believe how in his original design in the Garden of Eden, like, he wants us to be in paradise. Like, he desires that for us, like, 100%. Mm-hmm. And I think it goes back to, we live in a fallen world, and I have to wrestle, which is completely fine, with, okay, this aspect of the New Testament, like, not wanting to take things out of context, like, okay, that was for that time, whatever, we're in a new time. How does it look like for me in America, living, wrestling, or maybe even being convicted of, like, God, what should I give up? What should I sacrifice? And not out of fear, though. And that's why I feel like I know when I'm wrong, because I'm like, okay, this isn't God if it's out of fear of, like, oh, God, I should be doing this, or I'm in the wrong or whatever, if it's out of fear, because I wholeheartedly believe then it's not God, like, mm-hmm. speaking to me. And so being able to recognize when it's fear, when it's God, but I think it's going to be like a journey of, again, I have these good moments. I am in perspective. I'm climbing the mountain and it's hard, but I know I'm going to do another one because I love the challenge and that's what life is about, getting better and getting on that summit and saying, like, God, you sustained me. This is beautiful. It was worth it. And also as soon, like, I forget, then it's like, oh, am I going to think, boom, snap me back. Okay, God, don't let me lose focus. Like I said, it's always like that coin, and it's our choice at the end of the day of how we're going to view life. That's getting better, or it's getting, how you said, the challenge is getting tougher, and it's like, oh, this sucks. But no, it's the better. It's getting better. I truly believe that. And yeah, I hope people understand my heart. I definitely was surprised by, like, my tears. I think I definitely, when you're done with therapy, you want to go back. Because I do, even certain things, I feel like just automatically trigger me and, like, I want to cry, where it's like, you deserve rest, because I feel like I'm always on the go. But I don't know why, like, why do I always feel like I'm not enough? Like, I have to do something to earn it. I have to do something to be validated. Like, and I feel guilty sometimes when you're like, oh, what are you doing? It's my day off. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what should I be doing to deserve this day off? And you're like, you could be doing nothing. I just wanted to know. And I get, like, triggered by it. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it goes, like, deeper. And I'm like, I definitely want to seek help, but I don't want people to get confused that I'm not happy, because I am so happy and so blessed.
Tears coming down your cheeks. I'm so happy.
No, I think this just shows the human emotion. I'm just being vulnerable, but.
And I just wanted to touch on one last thing. You brought up the disciples on the boat. Every time I read the gospel, I've read it twice. I've read, what was it, John? And I've read Matthew. And, like, studied it.
Yeah.
I always see that through all the experiences that they had with Jesus, they were learning every single step of the way of who Jesus was, right? So I always bring up the example of the first time the disciples were on the boat. Jesus was on the boat. Storm comes, they start freaking out. Jesus, what the heck? You're going to let us die? And he's like, yo, chill out. Like, have a little more faith. And he calms the storm. Second time, it was right after performing a miracle. They saw Jesus, a Jesus that could perform miracles, that could heal, could cast out demons. They were getting to know him. Next time they get on the boat, right after that, storm comes, they're not freaking out. The only time that they freak out is when they see an image out on the water walking towards them, something new. And I feel like every single experience, like I told my therapist, I'm like, I feel like I walk around with like a little baggie. And for every experience, I'm like, here's a little bit of wisdom here. Here's a little bit of wisdom there. Here's a little bit of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in every single situation that we go through, we have an opportunity to learn more about God.
Yeah.
You know, like they learned that he could calm the storm. Cool. So the second time that they go on the boat, they're not freaking out about the storm anymore because they knew that Jesus could calm a storm if he wanted to. They don't freak out until something new happens. Somebody walking on water, walking towards them, they couldn't really make out if it was Jesus or not. And so they start freaking out. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And then Peter jumps out of the boat. So I think, although it might be scary, I think our perspective should be, what else am I going to learn right now? You know, through whether a scary situation, a tough situation, a great situation, could be different sorts of situations, but I feel like God keeps giving us pieces of the puzzle of who God is. Mm-hmm. And it's our choice if we pick up that piece and we put it into our baggie.
Yeah.
And then sometimes we reflect and like, who is God to us? And you whip out the bag and you see, put it all on the table and you're like, oh, God is this, God is that. And I do pray that you can get to that point where you're just like, regardless, good or bad, hard or easy, I'm going to learn more about you.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I love that, babe. And thank you for like, I'm so blessed to have someone so wise like you. And I'm sure people are like listening to it. And there's so many moments where I'm like, dang, why do I need a therapist? I have you. Just kidding.
No. You need a therapist.
No, I do. But I totally agree with what you said because I feel like I've experienced it with like I've been knowing God as Jireh this season. And where I am proud to say that like, before what would freak me out about financial situations. Now I'm like, that's annoying. That sucks. It's putting my goals further apart. But I'm like, that God is going to show up or that something's going to happen. Like, it's going to happen. And I can see 1 month where we get a crazy amount of money. And I see another month and we get pennies. I'm like,
not pennies.
Okay,
come
not
on.
Pennies. We get change. And like my happiness isn't dictated by how much we get or how little we get because I know like God is working in that. And I think I've seen him and I've trusted him. And even again, when we go low and it sucks, like I've gotten to know God as Jireh. And as you were saying that, I'm like, you're right. Now it's time for me to get to know him. Like as a God who it's not just finances. Like it's so much more than finances. It's like with the quality of life, it's like, that he sees me, he loves me, he wants to reward me. Which it's kind of sounds similar like to Jireh, but I feel like I've met Jireh, I've seen him that way and I need to get to know another side of him.
Yeah.
So thank you. I hope you guys got something out of our conversation and my tears. And let me know if you feel like I'm not alone. I would feel comfort if people were like, it spoke to me so I know I didn't just unveil my feelings out there just for the sake of it.
Or if you guys have insight, that'd be cool too.
Yes. But that we're going to get better. We're going to get better. I am determined and I don't want to stay where I'm at. I think that's part of me like bringing this up, this topic, knowing, okay, there's an issue here. Mm-hmm. What can I do? and confront these uncomfortable situations or even this uncomfortable conversations that I usually like try to avoid and like, everything's okay. Everything's okay. Cause I think that's not what getting better is. And that's not what like healing looks like.
Yeah.
And so thank you guys for joining us on this journey through the ups and downs, but we're on a mountain and we're going to see the summit. If you can like, subscribe, share, comment, and until next time, bye.
See ya.